Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today we welcome Dakota political junkie Seth Tupper to the show for a look at some top political headlines, and he's joining us from SDPB's Rapid City studio in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital space. He is an enterprise reporter for the Rapid City Journal. You can find his work online at rapidcityjournal.com. Hey, Seth, how's it going?
Hey, good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Are we just here at work to avoid helping prepare for the meal? Is that why we're the only people at work today, it seems?
That could be. There are some pies I might have to help make later. I'm not sure. Okay, we'll see if I can avoid it.
But actually, I've got a list as soon as evening comes. Let's talk about some of these top political headlines because of the national impeachment inquiry and hearings. We haven't had a Dakota Politicals junkie, you know what I mean, conversation for quite some time. So let's start right here in South Dakota with Governor Kristi Noem. And you wrote a story about a state government conference, a motivational conference that has a price tag attached to us. Tell us a little bit about this conference, please.
Yeah, when I saw the news release for the conference, I was just a little confused. It's kind of billed as a motivational conference with three tracks for students, educators, and women. It's the same three speakers, basically, for each track. It's a motivational speaker from Utah named Clint Pulver, and Microsoft Corporation is going to give a presentation, and then a group that works against trafficking is also going to give a presentation. And I don't know, it was just kind of seemed like a non sequitur to me. You gather up students for a conference, and the only thing that seems to be educational is whatever Microsoft might present to them about technology in the classroom, and even that is kind of just an opportunity for a corporation to come in and sell something. But anyway, I got curious. The news release didn't say what this was going to cost state government, and so I looked into that, and governor's office eventually disclosed to me that the state was putting $45,000 into this conference, which is going to be December 9th in Sioux Falls. And 25,000 of it comes from the Department of Social Services and 20,000 from the Department of Education. And so, I don't know, you can say what you will about it, but I just wanted to put that out there that, the state's, right. I hadn't seen the state do something like this before, I guess.
It does seem like an unusual thing from the state. Governor Noem will be there for a keynote address. And I was looking at their website trying to figure out what South Dakota leads. It's the first South Dakota Leads conference, and there really isn't a whole lot other than everything that you just said on that website. They don't go into a lot of details other than
It is a very nebulous thing. If you're going to have a conference for educators, it was somewhat bizarre to me that it wouldn't be a whole day's worth of seminars about education. If you're going to have a conference for students, that it wouldn't be a whole day's worth of topics about, education and learning, et cetera. So instead of, motivational speaker, Microsoft presentation, and an anti-trafficking presentation.
So one of the questions that's been popping up a little bit lately is, as we, approach January and a new session, we're looking at a year of Governor Noem's tenure, and there are people listing her accomplishments and her missteps, and some of those, in the meth campaign, obviously is on everybody's mind about how much it cost to bring this campaign, which has been criticized, and she's standing by it, taking ownership of it, and saying that it's provocative intentionally. What are some of the other things in this first year of Governor Noem's in the governor's office sort of bring to mind for you, Seth?
Well, I'd say, she's really tried to be a disruptor, I think, really consciously. And, it began kind of maybe with her resistance to legalizing industrial hemp, which, she staked a position as probably the person in South Dakota who's more against industrial hemp than anybody, any of the state's 800,000 some residents, and that has taken some people aback, just to the degree of her staunch resistance to doing anything on hemp, especially with quite a bit of support, enough to pass bills in the legislature, but perhaps not enough to override her veto. But then she had her big trapping program where she tried to incentivize young people and others across the state to trap animals that are predators of pheasants, and that caused a lot of consternation among some people who didn't think it was maybe a great deal, a great idea biologically, and hadn't been implemented with a lot of study, it appeared. And she has this motivational conference we just spoke about. And then, of course, the overarching thing that's been the biggest head scratcher for a lot of people has been the meth campaign, which, you know, obviously has exploded across the internet and media in the last few weeks. And so when you look at her first year, I mean, she's done a lot of things intentionally to shake things up, it appears. And, you know, I think a lot of these things, we won't be able to judge the effect of them until a few years down the road. We'll have to wait and see. Does the state decrease, you know, the usage of meth, and does a pheasant population actually go on a sustained increase for several years, et cetera?
And that seems to be, there's a couple things happening at once, because those issues, tramping, I'm thinking also of the Keystone XL riot boosting legislation.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. They're controversial topics, and so people can almost get distracted. But at the bottom line, she's a governor, and this is state money that's being spent, and how will people judge her on the effectiveness of her policy? Because that was one of the things that she was criticized on during the campaign as well, was did she really know how to have the executive leadership in the governor's office to craft effective policy? Some of the legislation from Keystone XL didn't make the distance. Relationship with lawmakers over hemp, a motivational conference that we're looking at and kind of puzzling over, you know, what is the goal of this and how will that $45,000 have an impact in the community? There's a lot going on there beyond just sort of how you feel about the governor personally, or how you feel about trapping personally, to how is that money being, because that was the big criticism of trapping, was how it was being, how much money it was going to cost and how it was going to be spent.
Sure. And you know, it's going to be incumbent upon people like us in the media to, you know, after the controversy over something like the meth campaign dies down, which, you know, in our world will probably be next week, nobody right. will remember it, you know, but it'll be incumbent upon people like us and reporters, people in the media, to circle back in a year or 2 years and further down the line. Did this, because there's a lot on the line now for her with this meth campaign.
Right.
I mean, she's really staked herself to it, defended it, said it's gone exactly how she wanted, that she wanted it to go viral like this. So if it does not do anything to decrease, you know, meth arrests and meth usage and the spread of meth in South Dakota, then it'll be a colossal failure. Yeah. If it does, though, she'll be able to take credit for, she'll be able to have a great I told you so moment, obviously.
And that's one of the, you know, people were criticizing for who got the contract as an out-of-state person. And what she's saying is that there have already been people who have called seeking treatment since the meth campaign launched, and that if we follow it through, we will start seeing more tips on how to recognize meth addiction, you know, where do you reach out for help and that sort of thing. It's kind of dicey, though, to say people have already reached out. We don't know if those people, how many people reach out every week for assistance with meth addiction before the campaign. It's how do you measure the success of something like that? You can't measure the success just by how many people are talking about it.
Right, and you have to look at those things, and it's going to take over time, you know.
Yeah.
We have to look at, yeah, how many people utilized counseling services and how many arrests there have been and how many prosecutions and how much recidivism there's been with meth and, you know, all kinds of things. But again, you know, a week out, it's pretty hard to judge the success or failure of it. That's something that's going to be, you know, the next 2, 3, 4, or 5 years to see if it actually made an impact.
Right. Whether or not you have a conversation or a joke about the campaign at Thanksgiving dinner is not a measure of success, nor is it a measure of failure.
Well, actually, you know, Governor Noem, I'm sure, would say it's a success. And,
yeah,
you know, people will be talking about it. I'm sure it'll come up where I'm headed for Thanksgiving. You know, I'm sure people will make a joke about it. The question then, obviously, though, that a lot of us want to know is, okay, now you've got our attention. Well, what are we supposed to do now? You know,
right.
Is it just that, you know, perhaps there is a success here with people are more aware that there are services available and that the state is making services available, and maybe people will be more likely to avail themselves of those services if that's the aim. Mm-hmm. The other thing, though, that I don't think gets talked about a lot that I'm curious about is, I don't think if it's your job to recruit businesses or tourists to South Dakota that you're probably too thrilled with the state being branded as the meth capital of the United States.
Right.
And, you know, there might be an impact there as well for all the whatever positive impact we might make on the meth problem. There might be a negative impact on the state's image that is a counterbalance there.
Unless we become the state that eradicated meth, in which case it's the I told you so moment. That would be years down the road. Yeah, exactly.
Precisely.
All right, let's talk about news coming from state legislature as we look at the upcoming session, because there have been some resignations. And Lindy DeSanto now, is this her name?
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Tell me about that, because I always said Lynn.
Well, her name was Lynn.
Okay.
She was elected to the legislature as Lynn DeSanto, and then in September she went through the court process to legally change her name to Lindy, L-Y-N-D-I, Lindy DeSanto.
Mm-hmm.
I attended the court hearing, and she just said it was personal preference, and that was her nickname as a child, and changed her name. So.
You attended the court hearing for the change of name for Lynn DeSanto?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
That's just good journalism stuff.
Well, you know, I took some heat about that, but I thought, you know, if there's anything people ought to know about their elected officials on a basic level, it's what their name is.
Why do they want to change it? It's just the kind of nerdiness that I appreciate with journalists who will take the time to go down to the courthouse. Now, she's from Box Elder, District 35, Republican. She's known for a lot of things, and not all of them are good. A lot of controversy in her history with the South Dakota legislature.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody who courted controversy as much as she did. And I think, you know, like the meth thing has gone viral. You know, she had her own viral moment a couple of years ago when she retweeted an All Lives Splatter meme shortly after the unfortunate incidents where somebody was mowed down in the South during a
Charlottesville,
Charlottesville, mm-hmm, yeah, yep. During a protest,
killed that by a vehicle who went into the crowd during a protest, yeah.
Retweeting an all-life splatter meme, mm-hmm, you know, was in itself controversial enough, but then the timing of it obviously made it even more controversial, and she lost a job over that here in Rapid City, a real estate firm that she worked for cut ties with her at that time, and she lost a speaking engagement. But then she won re-election. I should say she switched from the House to the Senate and won election last year. And then she really took on this issue of Serenity Denard, the 9-year-old girl who ran away from the Black Hills Children's Home almost a year ago now, last winter. And she took it upon herself to sort of be a crusader on that issue, but there's been a lot of people, she's been a lightning rod on that, with people on one side saying that she's used that issue to try to raise her own profile, and others defending her as somebody who's just trying to help. But at any rate, she took the kind of extreme step of going to a state prison where this girl's mother was incarcerated, and audio recording an interview there, and later came out that there was allegations on either side that she either did or did not have permission to conduct that interview, and she may have violated prison rules. So that resulted in another story I did where she was temporarily banned from visiting State Department of Corrections facilities. So, and there's other controversies, but yeah, she just seemed to always be a lightning rod for something or another.
Now she's resigning and moving to Montana, where she'll take a job there.
Correct. That's what she said so far.
Yeah. Also leaving, Senator Alan Solano from Rapid City. We spoke about him on a previous issue of the Dakota Political Junkies, previous issue segment. That's the print journalist in me slipping in there. And State Senator Stace Nelson from Fulton also recently. And that was a real surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah. And, you know, it is interesting because, you know, Governor Noem, you know, it seems like in South Dakota all the time there are a lot of vacancies filled by the governor and the legislature, but it does give her the opportunity to, you know, replace these members with somebody that might be, you know, not that these members weren't in line with her policies, but now she's got a chance to determine before she appoints somebody, is this somebody that's going to support me on my policies and my agenda? And so it's, and, you know, when there are close votes, like on the hemp issue, that could be important.
Could make a difference. Do we know why Stace Nelson is resigning?
Just what he said, you know, that he's, from what I heard, and I heard from Lee Sturbinger's reporting on this, and from Stace's own statements, that he's sick of, the impression I got is what he said, is that he's just sick of the whole game and feels somewhat persecuted, He's tired of politics. Is there any other reason than that? I don't know, but that's what I've heard him say. Right.
That's, I think, what he was. And someone who doesn't follow state politics was talking to me the other day and said they didn't know his name, but they felt sorry for this lawmaker who, you know, was sort of attacked publicly. And I said, well, you need to read his full Twitter feed before. I mean, I'm not saying that what happened or what didn't happen, but certainly he was engaged actively in, you know, taking people on in social media in a way that was confrontational. I think I think he would even say that. That's
fair. Yeah. And certainly, I mean, Stace, you know, I was in Mitchell at the paper there when he first ran for the legislature. And one of the first things, I didn't know who he was, and he'd sent in a letter. I don't remember exactly the controversy, but he had sent in a letter to the editor or something that we didn't immediately run. And that raised his ire. And he basically put us on notice then that, you know, he didn't appreciate us, and there were harsh words back and forth, and that kind of set the tone for, you know, his entire, he gave it as good as he took it. And another guy much like Linda Santo that just was always seemingly in the middle of some kind of firestorm.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like the title for best shot in peer is now open as well, because I think he was always the one who took marksmanship.
That's open now. Yeah.
We'll see who rises to the top in the handgun competition.
And yeah, being the maybe our listeners aren't familiar, but yeah, I think it's the Attorney General, right, that does shooting competition every year during the legislative session at the shooting range at one of the law enforcement shooting ranges there in Pierre.
I did not fact check that. I just seems in my memory, he seems to be very successful in that competition.
No, I think you're right. Yeah.
That just popped in my mind. All right, let's talk a little bit about the government shutdown, which many people in South Dakota really suffered through the last time. And the temporary government-wide spending bill was passed, but not without comment.
Yeah, I find it interesting anytime our congressional delegation splits on anything, because obviously all three of them are Republicans, and they all three have been around South Dakota politics a long time, and you'd expect that they'd vote the same on most everything, which they typically do. But in this instance, on this spending bill to keep the government open temporarily, Senator Thune voted for the bill, and Senator Rounds and Representative Johnson voted against it. And so you know, I guess with Senator Rounds and Representative Johnson, it was kind of they were kind of taking a stand on principle that they don't believe that continuing resolutions, temporary spending bills, are the way to govern, and that hurts the process, and that Congress should be enacting, you know, regular annual spending bills on a timely fashion. And I did ask Representative Johnson, you know, aren't you afraid that your vote could be construed as you know, voting for a shutdown? Because if that bill wouldn't have passed, there would have been a government shutdown. And he said he basically described that as presenting a false choice, that he wasn't voting for a shutdown. He was voting on principle that, you know, Congress should get its act together. But then Senator Thune did say that, you know, one of the reasons he voted for the bill was to avoid a government shutdown, which, you know, he's experienced numerous times now in his long career.
And all this ties into the fact that it is a temporary resolution, and the conversation comes back up. You know, meanwhile, this little impeachment hearing thing is coming up at the same time. And part of what's the division is over funding for the border wall. So a lot of this has to do with Washington politics.
Sure, but if it wasn't the border wall, it'd be something else, right?
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
They've been doing continuing resolutions and things like that forever. And other thing that's kind of interesting about it is, you know, with Rounds and Johnson coming more out of state government and having experience there, I think they're especially aggravated by the budget process in Washington. And of course, you know, Senator Thune has been in Washington a lot longer and is more used to that. This is sadly just kind of how things work in Washington.
Right. The way things are is the way things are. That's a line from the movie Babe, Seth. So,
all right.
Which I watched this week, and that before it is in the top of my mind. Let's close with back to the impeachment hearings and how some South Dakota folks are using that as an opportunity to reach out, remind voters, this is what we stand for, raise a little money. What's going on with kind of fundraising, attaching it to what's happening in Washington?
Well, it kind of falls under the token of, you know, when somebody's in a re-election bid, they'll use just about anything as an appeal to raise money. And, you know, it's just an easy – in South Dakota, where President Trump, you know, won with more than 60% of the vote, even with impeachment and everything, it remains popular to appeal to the Republican base to say that, hey, they're unfairly persecuting this guy and you need to re-elect me to stand against him. And so – it's not surprising that folks like Senator Rounds and Representative Johnson, who are up for re-election next year, would use that to try to raise some money. They've both came out against impeachment, and people are really fired up about it on both sides. And when you have high emotion, people tend to be more willing to write checks when you can tap into that well of emotion. And I think that's what's going on.
All right. They're also more willing to fight at Thanksgiving dinner. So On Point did a whole thing on Thanksgiving etiquette. And we give you permission to not talk about politics over Thanksgiving dinner.
I say throw that out. Talk about it as much as you want.
All right. Deal. Let's go. Seth Tepper, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you.